Hi, everyone. This is Maura Sweeney, and welcome to the Christmas edition of Living Happy Inside Out. I am waiting, as you are, for the answer to the final letter of the ABCs of now, which is A, since we're going from the end back to the beginning. But in the interim, I had an idea, a concept, and something that appears even on Christmas Eve to be something to share that I believe is worthwhile, not only for me to think about and ruminate over, but for everyone else who's living through this holiday season. And by the way, although this message, this episode, may be coming out Christmas Eve / Christmas Day of 2023, know that everything I put out is really evergreen. It's designed for whatever day, whatever time you're living in, when you happen to come upon it and think, oh, this is a message that I could take with me, that resonates with me, that I could live and gain some life and inspiration from, and make a part of it my own. Well, let's talk about Christmas, specifically the Christmas tree, and shining your light at Christmas time. I was probably at a class not too long ago, and I was thinking about the lights on the Christmas tree and how sparkly it is. And I could remember, even as a child, I would love Christmas lights, especially as they shone in the middle of darkness. They'd twinkle, they'd be different colors, but there was something about them, the internal light that would sparkle outward, that always would capture my attention. The other thing about it is that Christmas lights at Christmas time would make me sense, feel, relate to the magic of life, the magic, the things that only children tend to think about. It's that sense of sparkle, life, light, the things that maybe we don't experience in the mundane world, but we look at and we think, oh, I feel like magic could happen any minute. I feel like a miracle could happen any minute. Well, in thinking about the Christmas tree, it reminded me of something that I might have shared a long time ago. Even as a very young child, and I'm talking about a preschooler, I was always very aware of the fact that I could go internally, hence living happy from the inside out, and I could find the answers within me. I didn't necessarily need to find affirmation or attention by going for it on the outside world, by looking for other people to pay attention to me, to listen to me, to compliment me, etc. I just knew that I could go within and I could find, could I say, my home, my happy place, my place of peace. But even more than that, it was sort of this restful place where I knew that if I could tap into my home, which is my inner home, that I could get the answers I wanted, that I would be at peace, that everything in my world would pretty much be good. Now, I, like you, and most other people listening today, would probably think that so much of our lives have become externalized. And what does that mean? It's just that we look to the outer world for things we think we need, things we need to buy, things we need to do in order to feel approved by others, accepted by others, included by others. And then alternatively, we can look to the outside world in a sense of fear, thinking, oh, if I don't do and act and say and buy everything my peer group, my family, my working environment, my religious community, or the social community that I belong to expects of me, then maybe I'm afraid of losing my position, that sense of loss. So let's go back to the idea of a Christmas tree, the holidays, the sense of looking out at the Christmas trees and saying, what can I get from that picture? The magic that goes with it, the light that comes with it, the inspiration that goes with it, and how can I find inner happiness, and how can I work on that for myself? Well, that was the thought that came to mind. Now, think about how much nicer, friendlier, Maybe more buoyant people can be during the holidays. It never ceases to amaze me, at least down here in Florida. We can have a lot of people that are in a rush, that might ignore each other. But whenever it comes to a holiday, people tend to be a lot happier. They'll speak to one another. They'll share good wishes, even with strangers, along the path, walking, wherever people may be. Could be even as you're at a checkout stand. But think about Christmas in particular. And for those of you who've just finished with Hanukkah, which is another holiday pertaining to light. Can you imagine if you were to take a picture of the Christmas tree, and it could also be the menorah, and the light that goes with it, add it to the sense of uplift that comes along with holidays and how people tend to feel better when they choose and they tap into it, to the sense of miracle, the sense of hopefulness, the sense of peace that goes along with it. Let's say good-naturedness, a goodwill for other people. Well, what happens if you were to think about yourself as a walking, talking, and living Christmas tree? That was the idea that came to mind to me. You know, we can look at one or two days of the year and think, oh, it's special. Let me give somebody a gift. Let me say something nice and let me wrap something up. And it's an external gift to give to someone else. But it might be a little bit three-dimensional and it might be very passing in its nature. Imagine instead if you had a picture of yourself and that you imagined yourself as a living, breathing, evergreen tree. Now, not one that's cut down, that's going to get dry after a couple of weeks and lose all of its needles, but instead a living tree that's a Christmas tree that tends to have all of its light, all of its sparkles, and all of its magic emanating from it as if it's all one. I want you to think about that picture, and I want you to, in a sense, almost imagine yourself as a living, breathing Christmas tree, not just during the holidays, but every day of your life. Now, what exactly would that mean? Well, a thought came to mind today. I thought, well, let me look up what is Christmas, what is Christ, and specifically, what is the spirit of Christ? You know, it was probably a few years ago, I learned from someone that even several hundred years prior to the, the appearance of Jesus on earth, there were sects of individuals that were pursuing Christ consciousness, the Christ spirit, which is really an anointed spirit. They would live sometimes in communities and they would live maybe a little bit differently from those around them. But there is always, over the course of time and place, this awareness of Christ. And I thought, let me look it up and let me look it up this way. Let me find out what were some of the characteristics that Christ or Christians or those with Christ consciousness and awareness of Christ, the character of Christ in particular, carry with them that literally, figuratively, spiritually, psychologically, and energetically makes them unique in the world and actually gives them something that they inject to an atmosphere wherever they are. And I want to tell you what I found out here is by putting in the question mark, what were some of the character traits of Jesus that others can emulate? I'm going to be going through some of them, and I want you to think about them in terms of yourself, your life, the way that you live internally, and then also from that internal space that you live in, your heart, your thoughts, your intentions, the way in which you, again, emanate your own energy, how you might be able to share that with the world around you. Again, not just on Christmas, but every day of the year. And here was number one. The Christ consciousness is something that is compassionate. Imagine that. Imagine being someone who could be among the masses, those that drive very fancy cars and maybe hold good titles, live in the best communities, as well as those who these days might be wondering where their next meal is going to come from, or wondering if they'll be able to pay a very high and overpriced rent. Compassion. Seeing people everywhere you go, making contact with them, making eye contact, saying a kind word, smiling. If there's something you can do, even in the small way, to help them out, to give them the awareness that you can see them where they are and that you can relate to them. The second point that has to do with emulating the characteristics of Christ would be that of servitude. Now, many of us, especially if you look these days on the social media circuit, it has everything to do with being the diva, being bad, being the one that's mouthy, being the one that's putting other people beneath you. But what about a servant? What about someone who comes up beside you and said, oh, can I help you open the door? Can I treat you to that coffee? Oh, can I help you get up the stairs or do whatever it might be that a person may need? Think about how that could change another person's perspective and outlook on life. The third I loved, and I thought it was beautiful, and there's many different ways it could be shown, and that's loving. A love for other people. You know, there are some people who only love themselves. There are some who only love their immediate family members or their children. But there are others who tend to look at those around themselves and think, there's nothing that separates me from them. They're just another version of who I am. And when they look at other people, and when they pass them, could be in a mall, it could be on a street, it could be at work, they share the sense of love, because by loving or extending that love to another, it's really magnifying love in the world. The next one is a biggie. I know I've shared this on several podcasts. It's forgiving. Think about being a person who, rather than in their mind, is always carrying a grudge, an offense. Sometimes people carry offenses that go on for decades, even generations, things that happened long before they were born. But to turn that around in the spirit of Christ, imagine taking all of those weights, all of those resentments, all of those offenses, and tossing them away as if they're meaningless, knowing that the very person who offended you could have been in another form, you, knowingly or unknowingly, offending someone else. Imagine every time you look at someone and your face and your energy and everything within you just emanates forgiveness, as in never looking at another person with an offense. Another word, and I may go through the rest of these a little bit more quickly, is committed. How many times do people just write somebody off the very first time that they're offended? And offenses come very easily these days. It could be somebody cuts you off when you're out on the road somewhere. But to be a committed person would be to overlook an offense and to continue to pursue and to walk with someone else and expect the best for them. Another word that came to mind was prayerful. We used to always say, I'll be praying for you. But if you think about today or the past several years, maybe decade, you'll often hear people saying, I'm sending out good vibes your way. In many ways, it's the same thing. It's an energy that goes beyond our 3D environment. And what it does is it thinks about, it intends, and it sends out expectations, words, energies, for good and not for evil, to give others a future and a hope rather than a sense of an impending doom or condemnation. The next one I loved was gentleness. There are many reasons in this world, especially with a lot of people, with greed, with people maybe knowingly or not, who take advantage of others and treat people with disdain or treat people in such a manner, again, to swindle them out of things. But imagine being gentleness in action, gentleness in motion, gentleness with a quiet spirit. Imagine how that spirit can speak to others around you, especially those who may know they're not always good with others. There are three more. The next is patience. And this apparently is another attribute of Christ, and I could understand why. Patience. How often do we write somebody off, write a situation off, write off maybe a hope or good expectation we had? And what we do is we lose patience, and through that, we lose our hopes and our dreams. But there's something about patience, waiting upon something good to happen, waiting upon someone's ability to have a change of heart, waiting for someone to do right, even though they've been living a life maybe for quite some time where they haven't been doing right. But you see in them something where you know they want to do well. The last two ones include number 9, self-control. Think about this again. A very tall, very vibrant, very evergreen tree that might have been planted many years ago, but whose roots grow way down. Who knows that nothing happens in a day? Who knows that the tree that they are started as a seed, became a sapling, was very, very thin and brittle for quite some time, but over the course of time grew and became strong and became a place that birds and others could rest in. Self-control, that comes from not being quick to react, but waiting. And it goes hand in hand with patience, being able to endure maybe opportunities where maybe it would be, I don't want to even say easy, but quick to make a rash decision, to give a word back to someone, and instead to offer self-control and the ability to wait for something better to happen. And finally, humility. This world doesn't seem to like humility very much. There are some people that are so against humility because they associate it with being the floor mat that everybody else could walk under. But a humble person isn't always that. I want people to consider meekness. There was a word spoken in the Bible, and it says, the meek will inherit the earth. And when I think about that, I could think about easily the evergreen tree, the Christmas tree. A meek person does not need to flaunt it. A meek person does not need to best other people in order to make themselves better. A meek person is often a person that is very earthy, that could kind of take a survey of all that's in the world, look at it all, and think, well, what is it that's important to me? What are the attributes I want to live in, that I want to carry, that help me live my best life, my most peaceful life, my most satisfying life? And those people tend to walk in a humility because there's nothing in particular they feel that their ego needs to prove. So if we were to look at all of those words, all of those attributes, and think about how we can relate to some of them, how we could tap into them, and how we could remember them, let's say each and every day before we leave the house, how we can make the most of them so that those attributes might be part of the light that shines from within us to the outside world. Think about what a difference that may make this Christmas season, this Hanukkah season, when the world, who feels it's really been in a lot of darkness or who faces a lot of darkness, can look at you and think, oh, I've seen a great light and I feel the light. And I feel so warm, comforted, and peaceful in that light. I want you to just give some thought to that today or whatever day it is that you happen to listen to it. I know for my life, I'm going to start thinking about myself on a daily basis, as a Christmas tree, living brightly, shining brightly for others to capture and catch the magic and the hopefulness, the peace, the joy, the forgiveness, the gentleness, the humility, the patience, the self-control of that light in their own hearts and lives every day of the year. Well, that's been my word for you today. I don't know when the next word's coming out. I'm always waiting for the next episode, as I'm sure you are too. If this particular episode has meant something to you, even though I rarely, if ever, mention it, I hope you give it a like, and I hope you consider sharing it with someone you know that may need to hear it today. Until the next time, this has been Maura with Maura for You. Bye-bye.